Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
All right. A little delay right there, but nevertheless, we are now tuned in at Off the Cuff Radio, episode 550. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin, and this show is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Cocaine Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse Boutique, Core Financial, Screwball Radio. Got my host T-Max with the facts in the building.
What it do, y'all. Another Thursday night, tremendous, on that fresh frequency, OTC. Shout out to, of course, 30 Basement Radio, our co-host in the spirit, a lot of Sam L. H. and Chilla. We alive and direct, ready to do it, one day before Friday, and we here. We taking it back to the West Coast, to basically up to Northern California. Let everybody know who we got tonight.
Yes, sir, man. We going to the sack town with this episode here, man. This young man, it's a straight spitter. I mean, when I first heard his music, I was like, okay, this guy needs to be on Off the Cuff Radio because, you know, I'm sensing his vibe, his flow, his energy. I could tell that he's building a repertoire out west for the new west, and he's here to talk about his new project, anything that he has going on in 2023, and to give us a story about his grind, his ambition, and where we going from here. So without further ado, representing the Sac Town, Lil Six, y'all. Welcome to Off the Cuff Radio, man. 550.
What's good, man? I appreciate you guys for having me. Off the Cuff Radio.
Man, yes, sir.
Look, definitely, you know, banging out a 916, man. Look, Lil Six, it's great to have you with us. I'm a city, you know, Sacramento, of course, with such legends. I mean, Steve-O, Mozzy, Mr. Lunatic, you know, I mean, just to name a few, man. I mean,
yeah, man.
Look, we got so much love for y'all. Y'all have always shown us so much love, you know, especially up in Northern California. You capital grade, just like the city you come from, representing that state, it's the state capital.
Yes, sir, man. They set the bar high. They set the standard high. So, you know, always got to represent for the ones that paved the way.
Absolutely. Like King said, let's get to it and do it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your history, you know, your rhyme inspirations, everything. We got a little bit of time. Let's go.
It's all good, man. My name is Lil Six, a.k.a. the Prince of Darkness. I'm from Sacramento, California. I specialize in hip-hop, hardcore, gangster rap music, man. And I'm just trying to bring this sickness shit back from the 90s, 2000s with a new twist and carry on the torch, carry on the legacy.
Absolutely. Now, Six, when we think about horrorcore, we look at the early iterations of it. Of course, you know, Brother Lin Sean, you know, comes to mind, of course. Ishan, Flatliners, you know, back in the day, it was on Def Jam. So to even take it far that back.
It's been some years now.
Yeah. When you think about it, hip-hop was always, you know, from its onset when it first really became when it really kind of morphed into more of the what we know it as today. It was from the street level. Of course, it took on different aspects and iterations of it. Of course, horrorcore was always something that was pretty much a style into itself because it touched on a more macabre and, more graphic aspect of it. In terms of
definitely wrong.
Horror movies on wax.
Yeah, man. What was your introduction to it, and how did you decide that was the style that you wanted to run in?
Man, that's just the sick shit I was raised on. My father Six, my uncle Lynch, my uncle Tarkin, my uncle X-Rated. That's the style they were building. I seen them all work. I seen them all grow. I seen them all spit in the studio, write, freestyle, all that stuff. So when it comes to just the type of music that inspires me and influenced me, it's definitely just the Sacramento people and Sacramento Sickness, SIBO, everybody from Sacto, really. So that's just how my shit come out first initially.
Okay, now you just hit us with a curveball because King told us in the pre-production meeting about your father, of course, you know, being Big Six, and then, of course, your uncle, Brother Lin Sean. We didn't know about X-Rated. We didn't know about X-Rated being on that tree as well. Shout out to him.
Man. Yeah, he's on a crazy streak right now. Shout out to X-Rated.
Man, look, representing 24th Street. Man, representing 24th Street, man.
He's definitely doing his thing.
No, he has not.
He's doing his thing on Strange. New album coming soon. A lot of videos dropping, a lot of content dropping. Definitely happy to see him free, doing his thing and just living his life, man. This shit is dope.
Absolutely, man. In terms of when you really began to build a style, I mean, obviously, you know, what was it like in terms of really seeing it from out your way? Now, for myself, you know, the first time I was really introduced to the horrorcore from the, from Sacramento was, of course, and everybody knows, as much as I've said it online, I'm going to keep, you know, shamelessly promoting Source Magazine. I've been a faithful reader since 1994, and I had the issue with Ice Cube on the cover.
That's OG. Yeah.
And that's actually the first time that I heard about, you know, Brother Lynch, you know, because they reviewed his album in it. What was it like to really see that style, you know, that all your family brethren really birthed in terms of really, bringing it out there? Go ahead.
When I got older, man, I definitely could see the influence, hear the influence. Just a lot of support, a lot of people, they paved the way, they did a lot of groundwork, footwork. But when I was younger, man, I was listening to whatever was on the radio, plus that, you know, whatever my pops was listening to. But really, it's just, to me, it was all normal, you know? I kind of took it for granted back then. To me, it was all normal. It wasn't really nothing super crazy or super special. To me, I was a little kid, so I didn't get the full experience. You know, I didn't even get what they was talking about till a few years later. But I always studied them. I always listened to it. I always thought they had the dopest flows. You know what I'm saying? I always thought my family was the hardest. So, you know, that's just the style and that's the standard that I'm bringing with me when I spit.
Absolutely. When you think about how the radio...
I was going to ask you this too, man.
What's that?
With you guys coming with the content, because, you know, y'all set the bar when it comes to, you know, ruffling feathers with y'all content. You know, we can go back to when X-Rated dropped Deadly Game, and that pissed off the governor over there. Same with Sebo, and then Brother Lynch, you know, that have...
Yeah.
We're in a new lane, we in a new era, and has people ever felt a sort of way about the content that you guys be bringing still? Like, does it make them feel a sort of way?
Man, honestly, if they're listening to it, 9 times out of 10, they love it. But there's always the haters or the doubters. You know, it's not for everybody. Sometimes it's too gory. Sometimes it's too graphic. Sometimes it's too explicit for some people's taste. But, you know, that's why I make different types of songs. But for me, man, it's not for those people. You feel me? If they're not fucking with it, if they don't want it raw, if they don't want to hear it the way shit happened, you feel me? Plus my imagination and spin, then it's not for them. But it's more love than hate, definitely. But it's a sticky topic. You know, it's a touchy topic because certain people like it, listen to it, but then they're kind of afraid or timid, or they shy away from wanting to support it publicly because they wonder what other people are going to think, you know? So yeah, sometimes it works in my favor, and sometimes I got to work a little harder to get a fan to share something because, it might be too crazy for what they want to show online or whatever. But, you know, it's always love, whoever's listening and supporting.
Yeah, I had to shoot that to you because we live in a space where a lot of times, a lot of these labels would be too scared to even, you know, rock with the wickedness, you know what I mean? Like, they'd be scared to rock with certain artists, so...
Yeah, which
it kind of intimidates them.
Because, yeah, I mean, it happens a lot with other artists, with labels, with, you know, when it's time to book shows, people are a little scared sometimes, people feel a little intimidated, I guess, but honestly, I feel like... that's just my skill level, man. That's just the mysteriousness of my ways. That's just the fucking, you know, that come with the sickness, man. It's going to turn some people off. It's going to scare some people away. But the people that love the shit, the people that love the music, the people that want the dopest spitters, the people that care about bars, they're not going to worry about none of that other bullshit, and they're going to rock with me. So that's what I've been focusing on, man. But if they also listen to the fucking music, if they listen to this whole album, then they'll hear dark shit. They'll hear a little bit of hyphy shit. They hear some mob shit, but then they also gonna hear some spiritual shit. It's just in my form, you know. That's the whole point of coming out independent, doing my own thing, and saying what I want to say, and being able to fucking have creative freedom. Because everybody's watering shit down. Everybody's sounding the same. Everybody's copying each other. So it's like, man, I can be a sickness and be original and be myself. That's what I'm gonna do.
And that's always been a hallmark of music that is really going to make an impact. I mean, we think about it as we're having this discussion, that we think about how, you know, what y'all talking about, how, you know, artists, you know, labels didn't want to put out music. We think about 1991 when Ice-T, you know, and Body Count released their album, and there was Cop Killer up there. You know, the issues they had with Tom Warner. We think about Sebo some years
ago. And those are legendary records, you know, because of that, because of those things. Because they were pushing a creative line.
Yeah, I mean, we think about Sebo. And when he was fighting his cases back in the day, they actually hit him with some shit that he could actually go back to jail if he actually said that gangster shit on his album.
Definitely criminalized. They definitely criminalize us, man.
Cormega.
They criminalize our music.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cormega. He was just on a cover, man. One World Magazine. He was just on a cover. I was featured in that magazine, but he got the cover. It was pretty dope. So shout out to Cormega.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Look, and your hip-hop love is got spreads all over. I was on Cormega, actually, when he dropped the original Dead Man Walking. Back in the day in 97, they thought that song was too graphic to put out. You know, for those who know the history.
But for all those people who probably watch horror movies and see people killed or listen to rock music and hear about the rituals, and, you know, just it's just it's just hypocritical to me. So I understand where they're coming from, but I also feel like we ain't hurting nobody by talking about what goes on in the world, what goes on in the world. We ain't hurting nobody expressing what goes on in our mind. The people that this music's marketed for is for adults and people that should be able to not try this at home.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what, the further build from it, I think where the backlash is coming from, and this is the rooter of the tutor, as they would say with Phil Mob. See, they don't mind when guys like Wes Craven is profiting off horror, but when it's us, we find the ways through the music to profit, it's a problem.
Yeah, they get scared. Cause they get scared, man. That goes back to racism, slavery, and the way this world was built and made. But I don't know if y'all trying to get all into that, but that's just the way I feel about it. It's just their scaredness of us empowering ourselves, taking over or taking revenge based on what they did to us in the past. And everything we do that we succeed in, they want to find a way to stop our shine, stop our money, stop our growth.
You know, we think about music, y'all. We look at the history of it, and it's not necessarily even relegated to just us blacks, because we've always had a situation in American society, on Off the Cuff Radio, we're here to speak facts. Sometimes those facts in history are uncomfortable. Sometimes they're disturbing. But it is, for all intents and purposes, you know, what America has to deal with in terms of things that have happened. When we look at, even going back to the parents, PMRC, you know, the parents who were led by Tipper Gore back in the day, when she first heard the Prince album, you know, and that's when it started leading to the stickers, the explicit content stickers. I mean, of course, shout out to Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, you know, when they were trying to harangue all the heavy metal acts, and how he went before Congress and laid down still one of the most eloquently articulated educational expressions for being pragmatic and free speech.
That's dope. I'm going to have to go find that and listen to it.
Oh, yeah, check it out, man. It was from, I believe, 1985 when Dee actually did the, he came to speak to all of them about what they were calling explicit heavy metal. This was going around with bands like, you know, Wasp, you know, and all Twisted, so many that they were just trying to say, you know, Motley Crue, that they were promoting the degradation, the destruction of American morals among youth. There's always been the intrinsic link of youthful expression and even rebellion, and then the quote-unquote, and it's funny because it doesn't even stop, you know, with just that. I mean, when we look at some of the movies, for those that are movie buffs, when y'all think about the movie Porky's 3, you know, Porky's 3, because what happened was, so quick synopsis, spoiler alert. So Porky's 3 had to do with, and for those that have not seen Porky's 1 and 2, please do. I mean, shout out to Bob Clark creating two comedy classics.
I
got to
take some notes during this interview, man. Y'all dropping a lot of stuff. I need to go look
That's
up on this and watch.
We dropped.
Yeah.
So
Porky's 3 had to do with, it was about the high school, you know, Angel Beach High School. They wanted to do a Shakespeare play, but what it had was the leads were interracial with a guy and a girl. So then you had, like, the city council trying to stop their shine producing it. The movie was so genius. For those that lived through the 80s like we did, in terms of some of the cinema, some of those movies today, they will just not get made today because of just, but I digress. But the movie itself, it showed the hypocrisy of how these people who are supposed to be so moral, they end up being the most corrupt and the most perverted. I won't give the whole plot away in terms of how it turns out, but it just shows that you have people who don't have their house in order trying to tell us how to keep our house clean when their house is dirty all over.
Agreed.
And we see this today in society in terms of how they're trying, you know, you have people trying to, as you said, Six, try to... Yeah, they try. It's the hypocrisy of a pseudo moral authority is abhorrent, if not disingenuous. Because what it's trying to do is it's trying to make everybody cookie cutter. When first of all, in this country, we are guaranteed by free speech. That is of course the First Amendment. Part of the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, which for the scholars out there is known as the Bill of Rights. Secondly, we all in this country, no matter what color we are, have a very wide, extensive, and diverse upbringing. We are all sovereign individuals. We are not going to think the same. We're not going to act the same. We're not going to dress the same. Therefore, we are not the same. But we do have something to say. And we do have that inalienable right to say it. You know, as far as hip-hop has been going on for these years, we have fought this. All of us here, us three, we're children of the culture. And we have seen them try to suppress us, try to say that our voice didn't mean anything, try to marginalize us. It's people like yourself, Six, just like the forefathers that came before, you know, N.W.A., Ice-T, you know, Grandmaster
Flash.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, King T, you know, T.J. Quick, you know, I mean, all the aforementioned. Yeah, man, I mean, everybody, you know, Compton's Most Wanted, you know, the late, great Mac Dre, E-40, you know, Too Short.
It's a lot of
everybody,
history, man.
Yes, man, and everybody's
a lot
trying
of history.
To say, yeah, and I mean, you're part of that history. You're part of that lineage.
I'm grateful
when
for
you
it,
look,
man.
When you think about your contributions to it and the fight that you have carried on so courageously and bravely, not only in your art, what have you seen change in terms of the musical climate, in terms of the radio, how it's marketed, how artists are producing, how artists are creating?
That's a tough one, man, because I usually don't listen to too much radio these days because it's so bad. Anytime I listen to the radio, I'm listening to K-Love or I'm listening to myself or, you know, something like that. But honestly, I just feel like the game is watered down and everybody's doing what's going to get the money instead of making the music that they want to make and then find a way to make the money with their art and their creation. So to me, it's just, I don't even listen to it, man. I think it's all trash. I'm biased.
Yeah, because they figure it takes too much.
It don't got to be like crazy core gangster shit. It's just good music in general. It's harder to find. You got to hunt for it. So.
Yeah, that was on top of that. They figure we just copy the next man and that's going to be less legwork for us. When in reality,
that's
the mindset is. They figure, hey, we're going to go ahead and just piggyback somebody else's style. And that, I want to ask you about this, man. What are your thoughts about this biting thing going on? Because I ain't never
man,
lived in time with niggas just
totally,
sharing lies.
I'm totally against it, man. Like, If you're gonna pay homage or pay homage to somebody and recycle a bar, reuse a bar, you're supposed to say that person's name, put them on the credits, you know, give them some type of signal to where it's all love and you're not just basically pretending you invented the bar, you know, because some people go back and steal some old shit and try to make it look like they made it up. Just give your people credit, man, and do the song justice. A lot of remixes with old classic sample songs and the beat and the sample is carrying them instead of them making something old, new, and fresh again. It's just, man, like people got to put that effort back into it. And if nobody gonna do it, I'm gonna do it. And you know, it's just my way and my art form. But
That's how I feel about that.
Man, look. Yeah. Every time my brother talks about that, we always think back to that classic skit on Only Built for Cuban Links to Raekwon, you know, when them in Ghostface. But they talk about it, man. I mean, what
be barring,
like,
yeah, these niggas be like, yeah, these niggas be barring each other's style, like, hey, here's your bar, bro. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, man.
Ghostface.
I don't know, man. I don't know why they want to copy. I don't know why they want to sound it like. I don't understand. Like, they'll use the same bars and just flip the order around. It's ridiculous, man. But it's the game we're playing. It's the game we're in. It's, you know,
well,
it's a part of the game.
Well, Ghostface famously said, "I don't want nobody sounding like me on a record. Period."
No way. Straight up, like, yeah. Some people take offense to it, you know.
Exactly, and yeah. it goes beyond music, because even Michael Jackson and Prince were the same way. Prince didn't like niggas biting his shit. That's why he changed to a symbol.
Yeah, man. Motherfuckers got to use their own brains. It's like, come up with your own dope shit, man.
And one thing about y'all in Northern California, because you all have such a, myself personally, I am just an unabashed for our listeners out there who we're so grateful for, who've listened and have heard me say this on many of occasions. I'm just an unabashed fan of y'all out there in Northern California. Y'all just got a swag, y'all got a style, a hustle, an individuality that is just uniquely awesome. You know, from the production, guys like Rick Rock, you know, what he did with the Federation. I mean, of course, you know, D40, of course, passing on the reins to Drew E. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
your
for
whole
sure,
family,
for sure.
Everything y'all did. And also, too, Six, want to get your take on also, too, because your style spread out, because you all were the forefathers of this, and, you know, in terms of, you know, where you were birthed from with it. When you see the style that also even spread down to Memphis, rest in peace, Gangsta Boo from 3-6 Mafia. Because even
rest
then, you know, they would get it. You know, they had their even songs where we get into the horrorcore. You know, of course, rest in peace, you know, Kusa. And, of course, rest in peace, you know, Lord Infamous. You know,
yeah, they definitely were. I feel like they were doing horrorcore music before it was, you know, titled or named horrorcore. You know, just that dark, dark reality rap, you know, just the dark side of life, man, that people didn't want to talk about. They definitely did their thing in the past and still to this day. And they're part of the history as well. I think that's pretty dope, though. I try to follow a little bit, you know, of the genre, the history, and I definitely, I think they need to do more dope shit, man. They need to do more horrorcore shit. Fucking Cedar Six, you know. They got them coming out. It's a lot of shit coming out, man. It's a lot of horrorcore shit that needs to pop off, that deserves a spot. I don't want to say it deserves a spot in mainstream, but they need to stop acting like motherfuckers that do horrorcore can't rap, can't spit, and don't make dope art. It definitely needs to be on these award shows and in the forefront, and that's what we're trying to do.
You know, when we look at hip-hop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, that horrorcore, it just goes beyond also Coast as well, because, you know, DMX was on it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I love it, man. Rest in peace, DMX. DMX was, I think
Digger.
DMX was a horrorcore artist, but without telling people, you know, without saying it. He was definitely hardcore, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's like King was also saying, you know, Grave Diggers, you know, I mean, of course, Diary of a Madman, you know, from their debut album, you know, I mean, there was always different parts of it, but I think for where it was, because even if we listen to some of the Ghetto Boys stuff, even with Scarface, even with Bushwick Bill,
yeah,
you know,
Scarface,
on their solo stuff. And
Bone Thugs.
Bone Thugs. I mean, there's always been parts of it. that have been, if we really have to do a deep dive into it, I think it's about really where the culture, I think even with us as Black people, what we are accustomed to speaking on. I think from the violence of the streets, so many of us have seen it, is something that I think that's why it's easier to speak on. But when you're talking about more of the stuff that happens in the horror movies, that is something that's a little bit more touchy. When you think about it with heavy metal, of course, death metal, of which I'm a big fan of as well, when you have bands like Dark Funeral.
I feel like it's a lot to do with reality too, though. Like, police brutality, slavery, lynchings, all that stuff. Like, we read about that. We've seen that stuff. That shit, we've seen those images. That shit don't make you feel good as a Black man, you know, as a Black person. And we still got to see our people being mistreated and hurt and shit like that. So a lot of the time it come out as anger as well, you know?
Yeah, and also to build upon that, Six, I think also too, when we think about the trauma that has been understandably passed down, you know, we think about it scientific, which I do believe in absolutely and 1,000% behind with the science of the DNA, you know, the genealogy. Our ancestors, all the trauma that we endured that has been passed down to us, you know, from slavery, from everything we have survived and overcome, but yet it still has left an indelible print in our psyche, which is why for Black people, I think, to kind of come to grips with it, to see that violence is something that is very, at times, upsetting and traumatic because it has already been ingrained in us from what we have experienced. But like you said, it is still something that, while it is uncomfortable, we do have to face it head on. But it's about how you face that fear. And ultimately, even if you don't necessarily overcome it, it's at least something you can communicate to let people know how you feel about it.
It definitely expresses.
The first time? Yeah. That was about the first time you got in the studio when you started writing and when you started recording.
First time in the studio, probably about 14, 15, high school, just messing around, making some hyphy style tracks with my cousin and my brother. We had a group called the Stunning Boys. It was just for fun, nothing serious. And then a few years later, like around 20, 21, 22, I had a homeboy, MC, Dana. He made beats. We were going to drop some stuff, but it never dropped. It never came out. And then I just took a break from music. I wasn't really super passionate about it, or like I didn't really want to be a rapper. You know, I was just having fun with it when I was messing around with it. And then, man, I just found my way back to the music, always listening to it. I felt like it's a part of my story, a part of my my destiny, a part of my journey. And it just gave me a lot of fulfillment when I started making music again and got get my ideas and my opinions out in a way that's healthy instead of lashing out on others or self-destructing myself. So I've been using it as a healing mechanism to tell my story, but also just to share my love for the sickness, the sick made shit, and horror style movies and all that shit that we all love as well.
Man, you mentioned the high seat. Tell everybody who may have not understood it or was not a student of it, how lit was the hyphy scene back in the
day? Oh, that, yeah, see, like, I feel like I'm a little bit younger than you guys, so I got to experience the hyphy shit probably how you guys got to experience the sickness shit. And, man, honestly, the hyphy movement is the reason I have dreads still to this day, man. And it was just
dreads,
a different energy. It was just a different energy, man. It was a fun time. It was a colorful time. It was a, you know, we still had the dark side of the streets, but it was definitely motherfuckers was outside getting money, having fun, you know. It's a lot less problems when motherfuckers having fun and getting money. And just dancing, you know, coming together, who could dance the best and shit like that. Like, it was definitely like the last of the outside turfing, b-boying, going dumb. I feel like all that shit tied into that. Crumping was hot in L.A. back then, SoCal. You know, we're still dancers, but, you know, back then it was definitely a sound, an energy, a movement, and you could tell who was with the shit and who wasn't. You feel me?
One thing about it is that Sacramento, all over Northern California, because it was just a vibe back then. I mean, of course, you know, Shot to Keep the Sneak, you know, Messy Mar. you know, shit, man. I mean, Jay Stylin, Filthy Rich.
Everybody,
of course,
man.
Yeah, Matt, you know, Dre Dogg, a.k.a. Andre Nicotina.
Jacka.
Yeah, rest in peace to Jacka, representing Pittsburgh, man. I mean, man, what a loss.
Sir,
man.
The Fab. All them people, man.
Yeah.
They had just as big as influence on me as the Sickness, because that's the stuff that was hot in the street at the time from Sacramento and any other surrounding areas, man. Everybody was slapping that hype and shit. That shit was definitely dope. It's the movement, and man, I hope the shit come back, man. I still like hype and shit. I still listen to that shit every now and then.
Man, look, y'all was winning out there, the athletes too, man. Shout out to Matt Barnes and, you know, Marshawn Lynch, man, you know, representing the town, man.
See, he got hyphy in him. Everywhere he go, he hyphy like it. Hyphy ain't dead. It's just not as popular right now, but the spirit of it definitely is living within us, and, you know, hopefully that continues to live on to the future generation. Somebody got to do it.
Yeah, so in terms of for your inspiration with the horrorcore, what are some of your favorite horror movies, you know, in terms
I love horror movies, but my wife hates them. She's fucking a scaredy cat, so I honestly don't watch many. So, like, my favorite ones are the old ones, like Fright Night, Hellraiser, you know.
Oh, man.
Shit like that,
oh,
you know.
That's
for new horror movies.
Pinhead, I mean, Doug Bradley is Pinhead. I mean, Roddy McDowell and Fright Night along with Mark.
The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, man.
I like shit like that, man. Just old school zombie movies and vampire movies, shit like that, man. That's what I was raised on. That's what Lynch was watching. That's what my dad was watching. That was the vibe. It was just, you know, who got the dopest, darkest, sickest shit and find a way to flip it and, you know, and be creative. So that's just the shit I like by default.
Man, look, as I said earlier, you know, when we talk about the movies, King and Sick, we think about it, because some of those movies, you know, we're 80s babies, proud to be it. For those that did not live through that era between comedy, action, and horror, we're only going to say three words. You missed it.
For sure.
Because
none of this stuff we was loving back in the day couldn't come out today, man. Not in this climate.
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, when you think about some of those movies, I mean, Hellraiser, especially with Clive Barker, I mean, what he did, I believe he left after the third one, I believe. But, when you think about some of those movies that came at a time like It, you know, the miniseries, I mean, with Stephen King, when you look at Pet Sematary, Friday the 13th, and I mean, even going into the later years. Now, here's one for you, Six. If you've never seen it, you need to check it out. Sleep Stalker, The Sandman's Last Rites. You'll love it. I guarantee you.
What's it called? The Sandman's Last Rite or Ride?
Right. Sleep Stalker, The Sandman's Last Rites. That movie was released in 1995. My cousin put me on to it, and I saw it, and that's like one of my top five favorite horror movies ever. Like I said, watch it. You will love it.
Yeah, I got you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. In terms of when you really took it serious and started getting into it, what did you find in terms of what the process was in terms of making it from a hobby to really making it a full-fledged career, and the processes in terms of finding everybody to share the vision, and then what went into recording, making sure the aesthetics were right, and ultimately just gaining your audience? What was that like?
Man, it was definitely challenging, but honestly, it was just, I felt like it was destiny, man. Like, certain people would just pop into my life at the right time. My family's name holds a lot of weight in music still to this day, so I was able to unlock a lot of connections just based off my name. the sound, the classic, the longevity of the genre, you know, allows me to tap into a market that still exists because of people like X Lynch, Six, you know, all the horrorcore people that came before. And when I got into my process, I did it how my family does it. You feel me? Like, I got to see my family do it, so I did it. I do it how they do it. I don't like punching in. If I fuck up, 90% of the time, I'll start the whole verse over. I want to be able to practice my breath control, and that's how my uncle did it. So if he didn't punch in, I ain't punching in, you know? I want to be original. I want to have my own cadences because I felt like some of their cadences and some of their, like, even just the word EBK. Like, I still feel like Lynch was the first person to use those, that term EBK, and now there's a lot of people that use it. There's groups of people, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything comes back to Lynch, man. They birthed a lot of shit. So for me, I'm just paying homage, and I'm trying to push the envelope and stay creative and really make this shit crack again, because I feel like the sickness is of a forgotten art form.
What have you felt in terms of the newer artists that have come out of the Northern California area over the years?
I listen to everything, man, just to stay relevant, just to have a fresh ear. And I like certain things about certain people, but then there's like when it comes to like substance, or when it comes to the flow, the wordplay, when it comes to just not sounding the same on every single song, a lot of them let me down. In that department. But being fresh, you know, makes me want to go dumb again, you know, just get the people moving, get the people out their seats, you know, when you're feeling real grimy, you feel me? You know, definitely has his mood and times, but I also like lyrical content, man, so I'll play everything once, but I usually end up going back to that sack shit, that sickness shit right after.
Yeah, because that's the heart of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you look at it right now, when you think about it, also too. Oh yeah, when you think about it too, Six. What do artists have to understand in terms of getting into this game and understanding what it takes in terms of tenacity, the talent, and determination to make it?
Man, honestly, if you gotta want to do this shit. If it's not in your blood, if it's not in your bones, if it's something that and you can live without doing, then it ain't for you, man. Anybody else, they can't stop doing it if they wanted to. You know, this shit is a culture. This shit is our therapy. This shit is how we breathe. This shit makes us, our endorphins go off, you know? So it's just, man, for me, just be original and be as dope as you can be. And use your resources and your network to the best of your abilities. Keep grinding, keep leveling up. That's what I tell myself, so that's the advice I can give motherfuckers.
And you know, you also have songs with Brother Lynch on too. And do you feel that Lynch is definitely unappreciated by the culture?
By the culture, no. By people outside the culture, yeah. Because if you know about Lynch, everybody, if you know about him, you respect him. But if you don't know about him, who's Lynch? What? And then they don't give him credit for his contribution. So that's just what happens when you're an underground artist, though. But anybody that knows Lynch, listen to Lynch, man, they know his discography is fucking crazy. His flows were fucking crazy ahead of their time. His influence from inspiring Snoop to fucking Eminem, you know, just like, bro, like without Lynch, there would be a lot less dope shit out there. But that's, you know, that's just my opinion, man. I'm biased, like I said. That's just how I be feeling, man.
And because to me, when he dropped those three albums, I think the last three albums he dropped from Strange, it was like a horror movie trilogy. I think it was like Dinner in a Movie.
Yeah.
The Man of Electra, and another one.
Nice. The Coat Hanger Strangler.
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, he's showing this new generation he can get down.
Yeah, nobody was doing concept albums like that no more, man. So I like the concept albums. I like the creativity. And I like that he's still making music, man. He's about to drop some new shit, man. Season of the Sickness, too. So everybody be on the lookout for that.
Oh, man.
That's what's awesome.
Now, also, and one thing about it too, man, definitely you are about your art, Six.
Yes, sir.
How have you managed to avoid a lot of the, because one thing about it, if there's one trend we've seen that we would really love for it to stop in the game, there's a lot of young niggas getting killed for bullshit out there. And I mean, as long as hip hop's been around, there have been beef. But over the past 2 years, we've seen this shit just go fucking insane in terms of all the dramas that have been happening. And a lot of, young artists' careers have been cut short. How have you managed to stay out of it? And what advice do you have to artists about speaking names on records and not realizing or respecting the retaliation that could come behind
it? Man, that's a good question. I appreciate it as well. But how I've been able to stay out of it, man, it's one of those things where I've lived it already, and we've learned, you know, and grown from it. So I can't knock anybody that's going through the same shit I did. They're just going through it at a bad time. It's a worse time because everybody's recording, everybody's snitching, everybody's telling on themselves. And as for the diss track, I don't know, man. It's just motherfuckers ain't got no big homies. Motherfuckers ain't got no guidance, no following. It's just all for clout, who can get the most, and they don't care how they get it. There's no rules, you know what I'm saying? They shooting when there's babies present. They're shooting when there's ladies present. And it's just, you know, the motherfuckers ain't got no real gangsterism inside of them. They just reckless. They wild. They hot-headed. They can spit. But they not really soldiers. They not really gangsters. They not following no code. You feel me? That's why they keep crashing. You know what I'm saying? They ain't been through shit yet. And then when they do get the money and they do get the clout, because the young niggas blow up first, the young niggas blow up fast, and they crash because they ain't never been through shit. They, you know what I'm saying? They don't know how to protect themselves. They don't know how to move. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, man, but we've seen a lot of people go, and we've seen how they went. You've seen what they did. They accidentally leaked their address. They're wearing too much jewelry out where motherfuckers hungry at. They fucking with some hoes they're not supposed to be fucking with. If you fucking black and you can see and hear, how have you not learned from this shit? Just in hip-hop or fucking reality, if you're really outside.
That
nigga
part.
Just not smart.
That part.
Nigga just not smart, bro. Because right now, being smart is not cool. You know what I'm saying? Being dumb is cool. Flashing your money is cool. Back in the day, you put your money away. You don't want to let nobody know how much money you got. You put the ones to make sure it look like you got a little bit of money. Now everybody want to spread their money out and flash and stunt. That's how niggas get popped. That's why niggas get robbed. Niggas like, well, how do they not know this if they're gangsters?
And one thing about it, we know your family's history. We know about how thorough everybody is.
Yeah, so to me, it's just basic like knowledge. It's just fucking street smarts. Like, bro, if y'all from the streets, how y'all not learning? Y'all don't see niggas. Like, stop telling people where your stash is. Stop dissing motherfuckers you got a problem with. Now, if you want to do something to them, you can't. You told on yourself. If he do something to you, if you do something to him, both of y'all going to get in trouble. The police know exactly who do what to each other because y'all talking about it. Shut the fuck up and do something, or shut the fuck up and make some fucking music. Compete in the music. Compete with who can make the best record. Compete with who can get highest on the charts. Compete with who can steal each other's fans.
Look, as my brother would say, jump in the booth.
Yeah, man, like these niggas want to hurt each other. And it's like, all right, if y'all going to hurt each other, then y'all can't talk about it. That's y'all business, bro. Keep it in the streets. Like, they can't be gangsters and rappers at the same time, man. Like, you gotta let something go. You gotta let something go, man.
Everything you said is spoken with wisdom. It is spoken with conviction. And as I said earlier, it's spoken from real family experience. Like I said, we know the history of how your family would get down was, and it was scary. It still is if y'all are provoked the wrong way.
And that's how it should be. Everybody should be defending themselves. Everybody should be protecting themselves with whatever is available. It's not be outside slipping. It's just, be smart about it, man. Make sure whatever you're getting in trouble for is worth it. Make sure that you won't be ashamed or embarrassed, you know? These people get caught robbing stores. It might sound good. It might feel good if you get away with it. But when you get caught, that's embarrassing, you know? That's embarrassing. That's just not cool.
Kind of related and not related to, because what you said about how you're putting stuff out there. We're also seeing a lot of our athletes get caught out there and some reckless. I mean, of course, the situation with Ja Morant.
Definitely a big topic, man. And you, man, I don't, bro, I'm gonna say the same shit, bro. These niggas not smart, bro. How do you get to this position and not have the common sense? It's because they didn't live like that. A lot of these niggas are pretending. A lot of these niggas,
right.
All the rappers want to be ballers, and all the ballers want to be rappers. Like, niggas are confused.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas are tripping. Like, bro, like, you got, I don't know how much money you have. I'm not saying money is everything, but you have already made it to where you don't have to worry anymore. Why the fuck would you want to even put that image out? Why you want to get robbed? Why you want to get popped? Why you want to attract some hoes that's about to drug you and fucking take your shit? Like, y'all don't know what y'all attracting. Y'all don't know what y'all doing, bro. Be cool. Be smooth.
And
be pissing off the sponsors. I think Ja Morant should be trying to get a fucking gun sponsor, a bulletproof vest, and get his own pistol and get his own fucking legal shit and to go to the shooting range, make some, like, people will watch him go shoot guns just because, you know, they like his energy, they like the way he looks, they like his dress, turn on the music, do whatever you got to do, but make it legitimate, make it safe, make it to where people are not crashing, following after you. You know, you have influence.
One thing about
get that NRA sponsor.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's a problem. Like, why you got to play around like you're a pretender gangster? Go play with some guns the right way. You know, they're collectible. They're protection. They're toys. If you use them correctly, you can go have fun with your gun. Go show some fucking safety tips. Go teach the kids to go get their fucking license and shit when they're of age. You know, like, do it the right way.
I think what happened, y'all. When the Lakers put that beats on him so bad, it sent him in a different headspace. So now, he don't know. He don't know if he's gonna win.
Honestly, though, I'm gonna keep it 100. I don't think. I think it's simple. He's a young man, that's high energy, you know, high charisma, and he has a lot of money, and it's hard to make the right choices with that combination.
Mm.
You know, like, if you're that age and had that amount of money, that amount of influence, and that, you know, like, I understand how he's not going to be perfect. I just want him to fucking learn before something bad happens, because everybody's rooting for him. I don't root against him. I just don't want him to be dumb, you know?
None of us are.
I want him to shake back.
You make a valid point on that, bro, because T-Max even saw the post I made. I'm like, man, 23 years old, $200 million, you going wild out, man.
Yeah.
Like, even I was in a
wild
space
out.
At 23.
You going wild out.
I would be buying
poker
guns and all.
But, you know, he's supposed to have somebody to say, hey, let's not do that. Or, hey, no phones. You at least tell motherfuckers to turn the phones off.
This is a situation, y'all, where we really have to break it down in a universal aspect of common sense. I myself am unabashed. I will say this on air because I've said it before. I'm an unabashed liberal Democrat. I'm a devout Republican when it comes to the second, because I believe you have the right to bear arms. I don't like the idea of anybody saying what I can and cannot have, but I've melded in the middle because I do believe in responsible gun ownership.
Yeah.
And this is something that there is nothing. Let's just say on Off the Cuff Radio, let's just get to the heart of all of this. This is not about him having a gun, because he's not a felon and he has the right to have one. What the problem is for myself, and I think a lot of other people, and I'm not talking about them people that want to ban guns. No, they have no place here, because we ain't talking about banning shit. We not banning nothing up in here. But what it is that it shows a recklessness, because we all come from the block on a certain level, all three of us. So we've seen shit out there, and we know what it's like.
Yeah.
Number one, if you have that type of well-being, you don't need to prove anything. You do not have to apologize for being successful. And number two, when you put energy out there like that, waving a pistol around, you're inviting. One thing about it, and I learned this from the OG, you never pull that pistol out unless you plan to do something with it.
Yeah.
When you pull it out, you're waving it around. You're sending a certain message, because the fact is, ops know you got money. Oh, he got a pistol. And the worst thing is, how do we really move on the street? If we got some shit, we not going to let you know what we got. You might have an idea, but it ain't going to come out until it's time for it to come out. But that's not something we're trying to do across the board. And that's what he's got to understand. He waving around a Glock 19. So somebody's going to run up on him with an M4, an AK. Because they're like, okay, we got to make sure we're going to get what we came for. Now, that's just hypothetical.
That's how every, you know, militant-minded person is going to think. Like, don't give up your location. Don't give up your your arsenal. They know what you got. They know how to counter that. You know, they know what car you in. You know, they know how to get
exactly.
to you. So it's like, come on. I don't know, man. I ain't trying to teach these kids about war, but if you're going to be in the streets, you better know what you're doing. And he not in the streets, so he shouldn't be doing none of that. I just don't see a reason for him to do it. Publicly, at least.
Well, you know, but we also come from a different time, too, where social media has become a thing. Now, obviously, we're not on here to bash social media, because social media is our BFF, because we have met so many people, yourself, so many other people. We're blessed to do this show because of it. But what we have seen now, Six, because we all came up in a time where your music, your reputation, all that was built organically in terms of having a real talent or what you were doing out on the block. So people recognize you all in an authentic fashion. And what we're seeing now, like you said, athletes want to be the rappers because they're looking at the cachet that rappers are getting. But the reality is, a lot of times, people don't understand. I think that's the problem why we're having the issues in music to a degree as we are, because you put your time in the booth. You sat down and wrote your rhymes, taking time. You came from a family whose genes were already flowing through you that enabled you to do this tremendous thing, this gift that you have to give to the world. But because of social media now and everybody can just upload a video, everybody thinks they can fucking do it. And the reality is, no, you can't just do this shit. You know?
Agreed, man. Agreed. It's like, not trying to sound like a hater, but, you know, everybody can do it. Everybody can do everything.
Well, that's not being a hater, because it's like this. King and myself, we're not rappers. We love hip-hop. We might even bust a freestyle out of fun. But our job is, we're journalists. We're going to do our job as journalists.
Hell yeah.
We're not trying to do anything else. You know? And a lot of times people got to understand this, too, is just because now everybody loves the idea of being seen. Seen is a dangerous thing. Seen can get you got. Seen is sometimes not the best way to go. I prefer anonymity. You know, you can know who I am, but you don't need to know everything about me. What we're seeing now is so many people who are just they're just determined to be noticed. And it's causing a lot of unnecessary drama, a lot of confusion. We're not even going on the gloom and doom of killings. We're just talking about people doing stupid shit out there, you know, getting seen doing stupid shit and, you know, saying something dumb or whatever. And it's like, you know, and you just look at them and it's like, don't y'all understand that y'all are a public figure and you do have image as a brand? I'm like, don't y'all think it might be a good idea for people to not see y'all just doing dumb shit out there publicly?
And clout. Everybody wants the clout. Everybody wants the likes and to go viral, man. A lot of people can't handle that shit. A lot of people can get addicted to it.
how have you balanced your career? Because obviously, you know, you're a devoted husband, a father, having your career and balancing your being a family man, understanding the responsibilities of that, and also having a career and also keeping that and your family life separate.
It takes a little bit of practice, but I feel like I'm getting the hang of it. I just treat everything like a job, you know. If I got something to do with music, my family knows, my family understands, like, hey, don't bother him, he's working. If I'm not doing music, if I'm not writing music, you know, promoting or doing anything work-related, I'm tending to my wife and my kids, man. I homeschool them, and I just try to be a better person every day, man. I'm not perfect. I definitely have a lot of shit I had to work on, still need to work on, but I put effort into just being better because I didn't have my father my whole life. So it comes back down to the reality and what I want to leave instilled inside my children, my sons, my family, the things I want to teach them. You know, I just try to be a good person, man. I just try to be a good man.
I pray.
Mm-hmm. Shit. Mm-hmm. I pray. I work out. You know, I try to just keep myself mentally busy, man. I listen to a lot of music, you know, meditate, stretch, a little bit of everything, man. Anything to stay sane, anything to stay out of that mindset that we come from of survival mode or feeling like I need to take something or feeling like I need to go defend my name and my honor because somebody said something stupid. I'm just trying not to crash, you know?
Definitely. When we look at these times we're living in now, Six, I mean, we're 3 years removed from the pandemic. What you said is the most important in terms of meditating, praying. Our thoughts and prayers, of course, our condolences to so many of these people. I'm going to say this on air. We might get banned for it. We might get blacked out. Won't be the first time. I'm feeling like a lot of these shootings we're having now, these mass shootings, are being exacerbated because of coming off of the pandemic, because you've had these people that were cooped up in the house, and whatever issues they were dealing with, they got amplified.
If you wasn't working on yourself for healing, you got worse, you know?
Yeah.
You got secluded. That's just, everybody can't handle that. It definitely fucked a lot of people up, whether it's weight issues, mental health issues, you know, just the social anxiety, just everything, man. It's, you know, life ain't easy, man. Life is beautiful, but life ain't easy for everybody. So I get it, man. That's what the music's for. That's what the experience is for, man. When I want people to look for and listen for, and the music is the message, and me taking negatives and making them positive, man, just trying to turn the darkness to some light. So a lot of people just see and hear the hardcoreness and don't give me the benefit of the doubt, man, but I'm really trying to help some people, and I use it as therapy myself just to get shit off my chest and, you know, not to harm anyone or myself.
And that's that vicarious experience of expression that allows you to articulate in a fashion that, you know, gives you that relief. What other interests would you have in terms of how you're going to take this? Would you take this to possibly maybe even screenplays, books?
I want to write a book. I just don't know if I want to write a book about me, you know, because I feel like the music does that already. I kind of want to write a story and make something up, just be creative. As for screenwriting, I definitely want to get into that, but I know that's a different art form, and I want to make sure that I approach it correctly and do a little bit of research and learn. But I want to make a lot of ideas come to life, whether it's merchandise, CDs, shirts, plays, movies, voice acting, getting my music in shows, you know, video games, stuff like that. I used to play Street Fighter professionally, so I might start playing fighting games professionally again. It's just a little bit of everything, man, just the stuff that I love. And the stuff, you know, that I can do, I just try to make it work for me.
Now, you said you played professionally. Yeah. What was that like?
That was cool, man. That was fun. That was another way. When I wasn't rapping, that was how I was getting my aggression out. You know, it was fun. It was competitive. I love video games. The Sick Maid House, the studio, it was always a competitive environment with video games back then, with 007, fucking Street Fighter, SOCOM, you know, just anything you can compete in video game wise, that's what they used to do. So for me, it was just an outlet. It helped me meet new people. It took me new places, and it kept me out of trouble, you know?
Now tell us about that whole science with the competitive video game, because this has become like a thing over the past 15 years where they've actually got tournaments and teams.
It's big
now. Tell us all about that. Yeah.
It's definitely grown way bigger than what it was when I started. But it's basically, man, it's a skill. And if you're good, there's a market. You can stream. You can compete. Your personality comes into play. Sometimes people aren't even good. They just have a nice personality. They interact with the fans, and they build a following just playing fucking Mario Kart and talking to people on the screen, you know. Everybody wants to unwind. Everybody's trying to escape reality some way, and video games definitely, you know, everybody plays video games at this point. All types of people, all races, all ages. So, you know, it's definitely another way to network and to take a load off.
Yeah, that's a new way, man.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not a new way, but it's more so very soothing for people's moods, especially we live in a very triggered stage. So video games is very soothing and relaxing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Man, my latest addiction, y'all, has just been going on YouTube and watching Grand Theft Auto videos, because I used to love playing it when I was younger, but I could never get the hang of that shit. So I just love to watch the games and people just playing, just watching how, I mean, for those that have never watched or played that game, it's like watching a damn movie, literally. But it's a long-ass movie, but the shit is fun to watch, to see the skill levels with some of these, because it takes all, I think one of those joints I watched on YouTube, it was like damn near 10 hours long.
Yeah, man, people stream, they build a revenue from it, man, and it's just, I don't know, man, it's a way to tell a story and express yourself as well, because you can pretty much do whatever you want to do in that game.
Yeah.
I'll be watching a couple of them streams.
Yeah, but I mean, just to watch them go from beginning to end, it's like, it's crazy, because you see the story draw out in terms of all the stuff that they do and everything, and it's like, but when you see it, when you actually watch it and watch how it's played, how it's supposed to be played, it's beautiful.
It's art,
I mean,
man.
Shout out to Rockstar Entertainment and what they've done, creating a generational classic over 20 years.
I
want to
get my music in
their
shit so bad. I want to get a song in there so bad, man.
We're going to petition it on Off the Cuff Radio, because we think, for those that have not read it, there's an article going around online, and they think Grand Theft Auto 6 may be coming out next year. Lil 6 needs to have his music up there. Whoever's listening,
I need it.
Get his music up there.
I need the contacts. What's the emails? What's the Instagram accounts? What's the phone numbers? I need the contacts, man. I got to make the connection. That's the shit I'm trying to do, though, you know? Just do different shit like that, different goals like that. Keep me focused. Keep me out the way.
Man, look, we've seen celebrities, you know, look, we've seen, Young Melee make it into Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, of course, with Samuel L. Jackson, the late, great Ray Liotta. He was in Vice City, you know, look, you can do it, man. I mean, what is it like in terms of for you having music to have the right promotional team management and all of that, in terms of everybody taking care of the business and securing a lot of those opportunities for you?
Man, I do all that shit myself, man. I like to do my homework. I like to do my research. I like to speak for myself. I like to represent myself. My manager helps with bringing certain connections, certain features, or just handling the website, or handling anything that that I don't want to handle. But the creativeness and who I work with and who I collab with and where I perform, 9 times out of 10, it's me, man. I'm hungry. I'm grinding. I'm searching for opportunity.
When artists, and obviously, you know, you're self-contained, Six, in terms of your operation, What do artists have to, because now we're getting into this conversation now that's been going on for, you know, a couple of years about majors versus independent. Please give us your take on it.
Shit, honestly, I think everybody's different. The situation is different, you know, different ages, different points in your life. Like if you got, you know, if you have money already, you're more likely to stay independent. If you're struggling and somebody's offering you a chunk, you're more likely to sign a deal. So it just depends on what you want out of it. But for me, man, it's just everything got to make sense. I don't think deals are 100% bad. I think people just need to go over it with their team, go over it for themselves, do some research before they sign something, you know, because I feel like if the record companies were all bad, and why everybody's trying to get on them? We all, you know, everybody still hopes they get picked up by some shit. So I don't like hating on the record companies. Just don't sign no bad deals. As for being independent, man, you get to own everything. You get to see yourself grow. It's organic. You know the impact you have because you know what you're doing, and your destiny is in your own hands. So you don't have to ask anybody for clearance or can I say this word, can I do this concept. So there's definitely pros and cons to both, but I feel like whatever works for that artist, you know, go with that.
Yeah, and really? We've talked to so many, you know, on it because it's, one thing about it is this is something, and what you said, Six, is 1,000% accurate, and we just want to build on that a little bit. For any artists out there, and on Off the Cuff, we're always pro-culture, we're always pragmatic and progression, and always giving the best advice that we know how. Independence is something that is great because it does, like you said, give you that outlet. But one thing about it, artists, how do I say this? This is something you really have to understand, as you said earlier, about you got to want this, but you also got to understand, too, when you're independent, you are 1,000% responsible for what you do.
Yeah.
We are not haters on this show. We're independent. We love being independent. Doesn't mean we wouldn't take that bag if someone gives us a good deal for it. But what we also know is, too, we know the work that we go through to, and we have a lot of help with us along the way. So don't nobody get it fucked up thinking we do this ourselves. No, we don't. We got a lot of help behind the scenes of people who have really supported us.
Exactly.
And we are so blessed and so grateful and appreciate.
When you made it past 50 episodes and we had to do it all solo.
Exactly, you know, but we've had so many people behind us who have been so supportive. So many, we can't name them all, but they know who they are. We will always, you know, acknowledge them. But one thing about it is when you're independent, you have to understand is that you have to have a buzz moving where it actually enables you to really, really get those, you know, those show bookings and to sell the merch. The biggest mistake a lot of artists think behind just their name or their perceived importance is that they're going to be big just because they think they're good. Well, the fact is you may be good, but it doesn't happen like that. Depending where you're from, the market may not be feasible for you to really bust out, which means that you may have to blow up in another city to be recognized. Now, if you're from Atlanta, if you're from L.A., you're from the SAC, you know, Oakland, San Francisco, New York, Miami, Atlanta, you know, Houston, those are big cities.
Those are hot spots.
Hot spots, exactly. So, you know, especially in Atlanta, oh, God, I mean, you know, Atlanta's got a thriving scene all to itself.
Sure.
You know, so if you can make it, so if you can bust out of there or anywhere where there's a hot spot and you do it, you know, you can eat. But if you're still trying to get out there and you're still in a situation where it's not really thriving, it's going to be harder for you. And that shit may not come as easy as you think. Conversely speaking, you sign with a major, you could get a big bag from it, but that record deal is nothing more than a loan in terms of the money that you sign for that you're going to have to pay back. So when they sign you, they're expecting a return on it. So they're signing you with the confidence that you can bring the goods and you're going to have to do it. But like Six was saying, you need to understand too what the deal is and what are, is your art going to be appreciated? Will you be allowed to express it? And will you be able to have the means to get it out? Some people be capping, talking about how, you know, well, I'm signed to a deal. I'm like, listen, a record deal is when you have been given a lot of money and they're going to finance your project and you actually have a real rollout in terms of you getting people together. You having a singles deal is not a record deal. That more than likely is just a distribution deal where you make the song and then they will distribute it for you. There's a lot of double talk and jargon in this people need to understand. You know, but it's not everything is backed up to be. And people need to, you know, understand.
You got to be, you got to keep it real with yourself.
Exactly, exactly.
Motherfuckers be delusional, man. You got to keep it real, man.
When you've talked to your fans and interacted with them, what has been your, their feedback, their input to you, and how have you been able to interact with them?
With who, the fans?
Yes, sir.
Well, not everybody has started off as fans for me. So the people that are fans of the sickness or the horrorcore, the genre, my father, my uncle, those people show love right off the bat, man. We just most likely just reminisce about old songs and shit like that. And, you know, it's just like talking to another music lover. Other people that I'm trying to get their attention or they're trying to get their eyes and ears on the music and the videos, you know, I got to promote my stuff to them. I got to pitch it to them. And, not everybody wants to be bothered, you know? So it just gives me some experience and helps me adjust my pitching to differentiate depending on who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to just the person that I got, I want this person to listen to my music, come out to my show, I might speak to them differently versus if I'm sending my music or pitching an idea to somebody I'm trying to make a collab with or, you know, just promote with, cross-promote, shit like that. So just start being, man, about being creative, man, going with the flow, being keeping it real with yourself, putting the work in. But the fans, the fans are like, the fans of the sickness are like cult followers, though. So once they're in for life.
Right.
You feel me? Like, they're going to support you. They're going to buy your shit. They're going to come out to your shows if possible. They might, you know, they might fucking give you shit. You know, a lot of the fan supporters have given me gifts and memorabilia and just pictures of my family that I didn't even know existed. You know, like, I've learned a lot from interacting with the fans as well.
That's dope, man.
And, you know, before we wrap it up about shortly, I was going to ask you, man, you got the new project coming out. Tell us what people could expect from it.
Right now, you can find all my stuff on all major platforms and DiamondLifeMusicGroup.com. Follow me on Instagram at LILSICX. That's Lil Six. My most recent album, The Devil's Advocate, I'm still pushing that heavy. I got hard copies as well. I got some dope production on there, man. It's just another entry in the sickness. It's an updated sound, like part old school, part new school, Sacramento crazy sickness shit. And we got some new music coming. I got an EP coming out later this year with One World Magazine. That one has like a few clean songs with no cursing, just shows the growth and shows my lyrical ability. But then also has a couple of mob slappers and dope dark tracks on there as well, man. And honestly, I'm just trying to get on more stages, get my music in more places, make new fans, just, you know, touch, you know, rub some elbows and touch a new fan base wherever I go. I'm spreading the sickness all over the globe.
Man, well, Lil Six, this has been an honor. This has been a privilege. You're welcome back anytime. Our best to you and your family. Thank you so much for your time, for coming on.
I appreciate
on,
you guys, man.
We appreciate you.
Real.
Look,
definitely,
look,
man.
Tell Lynch and X, we would love to have them on the show, too.
Man, I'll definitely forward it to them, and hopefully I can help with the alley-oop.
Man, look, we're gonna keep scoring like the Splash Brothers, making it swish all over, man.
Here you go, man. They just beat the Kings, man. We gotta talk. We need to talk about those Splash Brothers. Right now, man.
But look,
shout out to the Warriors though. Shout out to the Warriors though. But they took us out the playoffs, so I'm still salty.
But what y'all got though? For what y'all have, you know, what the Kings are coming up, man. Y'all gotta. I mean, with Sabonis, what y'all got? With y'all gotta.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Man.
I'm excited, man.
Yes, y'all got something good coming, man. Mike Brown.
They're gonna be fun to watch.
Yes,
we gotta save this for another episode, though, man. I gotta eat dinner.
Yeah.
It's been fun chopping it up with you guys. We gotta save that for another episode.
Definitely. You will be back.
No doubt, man.
To have you back.
Yes, sir.
So,
I appreciate you guys, man. Thank
you, your family. Thank you again. Thank you.
Send me an address or something, man, so I can send you guys an album or some stickers or something, bro. Like something you guys can hold on to, something to touch. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, we would love that.
Send the merch, man, because you know we do live. Sometimes when I do live streams, I definitely advertise the merch too. So if you got any merch, just send that to us, man. I'll send that to you after the show.
You have to send me information. I'll get you guys a care package. I appreciate the love and support, man. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you. Love you all. Thank you so much. Our best to you, your family. Can't wait to have you back next time, Six. Y'all be safe.
All right.
All right.
Know we up out of here. We'll catch y'all at another time, same channel. Peace out.
Peace.
What?